from the heart of Texas,
where he met his one, and only true love. Proving that this guy really does know how to love well.
Because there's no way he won her over with his looks.
Therefore, he must be the relationship genius of our generation. Get ready for the best advice you'll ever hear on how to keep your relationships thriving.
Welcome
to the Smalley Podcast with your host, Michael Smalley.
If you have ever liked anyone of the Smalley Marriage Podcast, you are going to freak out on today's show because I have with me the one and only Dr. Corey Allen, who founded SimpleMarriage.net, which only happens to be the number one, not the number two, three, four, or number 5,000, the number one marriage blog on the World Wide Web. This is the guy who founded SimpleMarriage.net, Dr. Corey Allen, who is becoming very quickly a very good friend of mine. He is here only on the Smalley Marriage Podcast. Welcome to the show, Dr. Allen. How are you doing?
And I'm great. I think we should just end the show right there.
I know, because it's only going to get worse.
That sounds great.
Because now they actually have to hear you talk, and they're going to be sorely disappointed.
Yeah, can live up to that or just bomb miserably.
This is why they're going to love you, because you and I, you know, I actually met you because as I was searching the web and looking for other people that are trying to help marriages, I stumbled upon your website. And one of the things I truly do appreciate about you is the authenticity. Well, and I think that's very important.
It is very important. In my book, it's very, very important. Yes.
Because if you're not real, then, and I know this is to be true, and I think people have enjoyed this show as well, and the books that we've written and different things, and in our intensive program, the number one comment I always get from couples is, yeah, I really appreciate your honesty and just your willingness to share your own junk. And Dr. Allen, you have a lot of junk too.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. It's all there on Simple Marriage too. So you can dig around and find it if you're really interested.
Hey, and seriously, folks, you got to get to SimpleMarriage.net because there is a tremendous, I mean, this guy, actually, how do you find this much time to write? It's kind of annoying.
Well, it's evolved now that I'm not the only voice on there. So I've got other people producing content as well. So that has helped expand the voice and the breadth of the site. But, you know, when I started, it just started as a hobby and as a way to try to get a message out there to a broader audience. And so a lot of it is just, you know what it's like, Michael, being in the academic world where you just kind of get in a writing mode. And then after I finished that, it just shifted to blogging mode.
Well, you're making a tremendous assumption there that I know what it's like to be in the academic world.
Well, you've been to school at some point.
I did a lot of sleeping and drooling during academics.
I'm assuming you finished kindergarten.
I did.
You learned to write.
So I did.
Maybe it is quite an assumption that I just made there, but
no, you know what's good though, and it's why I'm excited that you're on the show, and especially with the topic we're going to get into, is it's always practical, and that's what's important because people can get lost, especially experts, and especially when you get a doctor in front of your name. Sometimes that means, really, I'm just too smart, and you're not going to understand anything I'm about to try to tell you or teach you. But that's not at all what SimpleMarriage.net is. And you put a lot of pressure on yourself because you put simple in the URL, and that means it better be simple. And it truly is, man. You've done a great job with that.
Well, thank you.
And so today, because I know one of your passions, and I use that word specifically, one of your passions is sexual intimacy for married people, because frankly, people struggle with sexual intimacy. And what I'm kind of embarrassed about is, you and I were talking about what do we want to hit on this show as you were coming on, and I realized I launched this Smalley Marriage Podcast back in March, and one of the things that I flat out have ignored and not even gotten remotely into is sexual intimacy. And so one of the deals that we want to tackle today is sort of, you know, what does it take, Dr. Allen? What does it take for a couple, if we want to help them out with sexual intimacy, what are kind of some general guidelines or some general thoughts that, A, maybe if they are struggling, why? And then if they don't want to struggle anymore, what are some good ideas then that we can help them with that could truly improve their sexual life?
I think just coming right out of the gate is the idea that if you are a couple that struggles with sexual intimacy or issues in sex or just issues in the bedroom, if you want to just put it all under that umbrella, that's absolutely normal. That happens in every marriage.
So you're not alone.
Exactly. I mean, I go through it. Even having done this, this marriage world, marriage expert, marriage blogging therapist, all that together for, 10 plus years now and being married 19 years now, it happens. And it's part of what is just our developmental process, I guess, is the way I think of it, that you're normal if you're having problems when it comes to sex, because there's problems that happen whenever you get that close to another person. And so give yourself a break, give your spouse a break, and realize it's possible there's nothing really going wrong, quote unquote. It's just a chance to experience something more together and as a person in your own character.
Well, and isn't it really about understanding that anything worth having is never easy?
Yeah.
I mean, anything in life worth having isn't easy. And that's what always surprises me, is how people who get married just think it should be some cakewalk. And it's like, really? At what point, after you said I do, at what point has any of this really been easy? I mean, it doesn't have to be miserable, but at the same time, anything worth having takes work. Right. And obviously that happens inside the bedroom as well. Okay, I got to ask you a question, because it's interesting, because we were saying sexual intimacy, but then you really specifically, purposefully said, well, you kind of generalized it, pulled it back there a little bit to inside the bedroom. What do you really mean by that? Why did you do that?
Yeah, I think it's there's a whole, I mean, first you got the gender differences of the definition of the word intimacy that – are we talking just about sex, or are we talking about emotional closeness, or are we talking about mental closeness and all that can, so there's so many things that make up sexual intimacy. And the way I kind of think of it is the idea of, what happens in the bedroom. That's the nitty gritty of marriage to me. That's the secret side of marriage. That's just between you and your spouse.
Yep.
It's that secret life that marriage, I think, was intended and designed to be. And so it kind of allows for a little variation on how it applies to people. Because if you're just talking about the act of sex, that's one thing, the functionality of it. But when you're talking about what I think God designed it to be, it brings in more components. It brings in the emotional side, the mental side, the spiritual side, and the physical side all at the same time.
It's not even that it's complicated. It's just more holistic. There's more involved, not complicated, but it's bigger than just jumping in the bed, getting naked, and getting it on.
Yeah, it's not as easy as what Hollywood portrays. It's just the same thing you alluded to of how I think lots of people have the illusion that marriage is a bed of roses. And that's because if you walk the aisles of Hallmark or you watch any movie, it is easy, but it's not. And so sex is the same way. You don't just have a normal day and then fall into bed and everything just goes real smoothly during sex. There's lots of stop, start, and no, and yes, and let's do this, but no way. And, there's all kinds of that kind of stuff that goes on. And
so the first thing then, and which is great, is you're not alone. It's no big deal. Everybody goes through stuff. Okay. Which is great. But then if they are struggling, how can we encourage them? What are some things then that they can start doing right now, today, that might start turning this around?
Well, I think you know, if you buy into the idea that having issues in your sex life is normal, then that opens the door to looking at your sex life maybe in a little bit of a different perspective or different lens, that you can then kind of see it as part of your own developmental process, as part of your own evolving as a person. Because to me, when it comes to a couple's sex life, sex is a language. And how you do sex is exactly how you do life. And how you do life is exactly how you'll do sex. So if you can look at it, the fact that we cannot compartmentalize our lives and say, oh, well, I'm this here and this there, even though we try to at times, there's too much commonality. So if I'm having problems in my sex life, I'm probably having problems elsewhere too. So sex is
almost like a thermometer.
Sure.
To your emotional relationship as well.
Sure. Yeah, and it can be a thermometer to your life of, you know, if you're dealing with a whole lot of stress and a whole lot of things and it's really got you down and depressed and you're wondering, why is my desire gone for sex? Well, hello. You know, that's kind of a common sense.
Yeah.
But it's also the same thing that if I start doing some things, if I want to improve my sex life with my wife and I decide I want to go, you know, I can either try to up the game and romance her and do some different things to improve it, which that might or might not be successful. But I can also at the same time go and just work out and become better in myself, you know, eat better, get healthier, raise my emotional state. And that's going to then improve my sex life.
It does. And that's what, you know, I've a lot of times when people come into our intensive program, they're complaining about one thing and they're ignoring in a completely other area of their life and they miss the connection.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, you know, we want this fixed, we want this sexual part fixed, but yet, right. And I'll never forget one time my wife came back from an intensive and she was sharing how the wife was going, yeah, the sex is great. But then Amy's kind of describing, though, this horribly disconnected, you know, escalatory relationship that they're yelling back and forth. And I mean, they're, you know, just incredibly disconnected. And I'm going, no, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This wife is saying the sex is great, but the relationship is bad. And Amy has said this at our conferences before in repeating this back, where my statement was, well, hold on. That wife has no clue how great sex can be.
Right.
Because clearly, you know, I don't doubt that that wife is not orgasming because she probably is. But if that's all she thinks sex is, she's missed the boat.
Right.
And frankly, that's
functional sex.
Oh, that's exactly. That's functional. And she's missing out on, you know, 98% of all these other emotions and things that could heighten it.
Yeah.
And heighten everything else. And she just doesn't have a clue what she's missing.
Right.
Because if all the other stuff was clicking, wow, it'd be so much better.
Right. And I think that's the state of a lot of marriages, is that we reach a point where it's pretty good, or, you know, we're settling on it's stable and that's enough. You know, so it's functional sex. It's once a week, it's missionary position, whatever. And one of you may be, I'm interested in really spicing this up, but I don't want to rock the boat. So, okay. Well, you know, what that says to me is you also probably don't take very many other risks in other parts of your life. So, all right, look at it as a whole picture. I can up the things I do in sex, or I can up the things I do outside of the bedroom, and I'll get the benefit of both.
Well, and you just said, and it totally triggered this idea in my head, that couples do. You'll have one of them wanting to spice it up and the other one doesn't want to. And what triggered, and totally correct me if I'm off on this one. Okay. Because I know this is true. A lot of times somebody's wanting to get a little bit funky and just have fun and just get creative, because a lot of couples struggle with boredom sexually.
Right.
But I know that a lot of times the one who's wanting to spice it up and the one who's resisting that is resisting it because they're more than likely not feeling emotionally safe.
Right.
They're feeling disconnected. They're feeling picked on. They're feeling judged.
Right.
But then now their spouse is going, well, hey, let's get it going here. Let's spice it up in the bedroom. And they're thinking, whoa, wait a minute. I don't even remotely feel safe to open up even more in that area when over here you're crushing me emotionally. How on earth can I give you even more over there? And so maybe if you're listening and you keep getting shut down when you want to spice things up, that might be an area that you need to evaluate and go, well, I wonder how safe my wife or my husband feels. And not safe like, you know, they think they're going to get killed. Safe in the sense of, you know, how judged is your spouse feeling? How listened to is your spouse feeling? And if they don't feel listened to and if they feel judged, then they don't feel safe.
Yeah. And at the same time, how uncomfortable am I about some of the things they're asking me to do in other areas of my life that I won't do?
Explain that. That's good. I mean, I get it, but let's make sure and unpack that.
What you're describing, it's true. And I think it happens to where, okay, I want to up the routine because everybody has a few scripts that they follow when it comes to sex. That's just kind of the way we are because we have a few scripts we follow when it comes to life. Because that's
sure.
And the politically correct way to refer to that is our comfort zone. We want things in our comfort zone. So sometimes we meet things that stretch us, that make us uncomfortable, and we react and won't do it when it comes to sex. Let's just use that as the example, since that's what we're talking about. Well, I won't do that because I feel it's wrong. Well, it may or may not be biblically wrong or morally wrong or whatever, but you're responding to this, no, I won't do it because that's just gross. But maybe there's nothing wrong with it and you haven't challenged yourself to truly look at that. And what do you really believe about it? What do you really feel about it versus just reacting to it? So it could be you need to be willing to grow into a new area of your life, which will then open up areas of your life to experience more together and as a person. So systemically, I think that if you have a partner that's resisting things because they don't feel safe, and I think that's an appropriate term, it's likely there's other areas of your life that they're asking you to up your game and you're not doing it either. So you need to challenge, you know, look yourself in the mirror and say, where am I being in my own integrity when what I'm asking from my spouse as well?
That is huge. And you and I have talked about this just privately in our conversations as we've gotten to know each other. Here we are. We're hearkening to personal responsibility.
Yeah.
If I don't grow up, man up, female up, then these areas in my life are going to suffer.
Yeah.
So if I don't take responsibility for my emotions, for my ability to love well, then it starts with me.
Yep.
And so, you know, if I go towards my spouse and say, hey, you know, I'd like to mix things up and they shut it down. Well, if I get all pouty and complain and blame, I mean, how sexy is that?
Yeah.
That's not sexy. And it's funny how sometimes people just don't get that.
Yeah.
It's like, well, hold on a minute. If you don't get what you want,
Do
you seriously think the way to respond to that is to become a jerk or to pout or to complain or to – no. I mean, you think the barn door shut the first time. you just put a lock on them suckers.
Yeah, and think the same thing when it comes to the idea of initiating sex, that you have the stereotypical, let's go, the husband that wants more sex and the wife that's resistant. So his
approach, I don't really understand that. Are wives out there that are resistant to sex?
Well, I know you and Amy are in the anomalies, but
I mean, like when Amy even has a headache, she actually approaches me for sex just to get rid of the headache.
Very nice. Bottle that and you would be a billionaire. But it's one of those that the husband's idea of rather than going after what he wants, which is sex with his wife, he will resort to hovering and looking for possibilities and hoping that maybe she sent some sort of a cue that she's interested. And it could be it's the farthest thing from her mind, but she's not resistant to it. but you're not operating from your own personal responsibility and integrity of what do you want? And know that you don't always get it, but does that stop you from operating from there? That's the growth test for me.
That is a huge growth test. And I like the word integrity.
Yeah.
Define that. Define that for the listener. Well, what do you mean by integrity?
I think it's the core of who you are. For me, and I know for you, and probably for a large part of your audience, it's the God-created part of us. It's the core essence of our values and our belief systems and our spirituality and everything. And all of us have that. Even the most liberal, flow with, you know, everybody, anything goes type of a person has a point where, no, you've crossed the threshold of this is something I hold dear. I will make a stand for this. And that's what I'm talking about. That's the thing that you won't go against yourself. And our job as Christians, I think, is evolving our character and growing our character and wisdom to where it just becomes more and more of us as people.
And I think what people need to hear is that when you work on growing your integrity and character, growing in wisdom, I don't think you fully understand what a turn-on that is for your spouse.
Yeah.
That is massive.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's huge.
I also think that that's what marriage is designed to do, is help us grow in our character. I think that's the whole point of marriage. It's not about our happiness. That comes along with it, hopefully. But that's not the point. I think the point is it's where we are refined.
Marriage, you know, I don't know how old you – well, we're about the same age, and you've been married 19 years. I'm going on 18 years, and so you were young too. I mean, I'm telling you, getting married at 21, that was the quickest way for me to grow up.
Yep.
Because it forces you. You just can't be self-centered, egomaniac anymore because you now got this other person that you have to take account for.
Yeah, not and stay married at least.
Yeah, well, exactly. If you don't want to end up divorced, then you got to figure it out. And I had the blessing of doing that at starting that process at 21. And I'm telling you, looking at my life by the age of 28 and the lives of my friends who were yet married by 28, radical difference.
Yeah.
You can't even compare. I mean, I had all three of my kids already by the age of 28. And the difference.
You dramatically compounded it because I think kids are just to grow up too. And, you know, the way I think of it and teach a lot is the idea that marriage, your spouse is designed to help you grow. And when they take a break, your kids step in and fill the void.
They do. So those little stinkers.
Yeah, it's a constant growth process if you think about it.
Man, God really must have seen me as a very immature person.
You and me both.
I'm getting a theme here.
You and me both. But it's one of those that I think that's what relationships are designed for. And because that's where I think God is most present is in relationships. You know, I don't think it's possible to be a Christian alone. I think you have to have people you're in relationship with. And as you go up the hierarchy of importance, it just gets hotter and hotter as far as the intensity on you to grow or resist it. And when you do it right in marriage, it gets hotter and hotter in the bedroom, which is what we're talking about.
Ooh, I feel like I should have had like a soundbite. Bow, chicka, bow, bow. That would have been nice.
That might have crossed the line for some people.
Well, I don't usually just cross that line. I hurl my entire body over that line and off the cliff.
Nice.
People are getting used to that, though, and still they listen.
That's good.
It's interesting. Well, I appreciate this, Dr. Allen. I love your last name. It just feels right because I can't just say Dr. Allen. You have to go Dr. Allen.
Okay.
You should be on a movie, or at least they should make a movie off of your name, Dr. Allen.
Well, all right.
It just forces people to take you very seriously.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
See, Smalley, that just invites being mocked. There's nothing good. Smelly, Smalley, there's just nothing powerful about it but Dr. Allen. That's a very powerful name, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it.
It's no surprise that you have the number one marriage blog on the web. No surprise at all. And all kidding aside, it's truly because you have a lot of wisdom. I know you take it very seriously. And I actually know that you love helping couples and you take it seriously and you want to give good practical insight and you don't just throw crud out there and you're not just trying to, you know, just junk it up and, you know, you're not trying to be popular. You're actually trying to be helpful.
Yeah. And that matters. That's largely what's missing, I think, in a lot of the marriage help world is it's personal story and there's nothing wrong with personal story. You know, someone's sharing their journey and what they learned from it. But to truly get to stuff that really helps lots of people, I think you've got to get to some things that applies theory and application of that theory.
Well, and it's good, though, to have an educational background.
Yeah.
To be an expert in it, which is the doctor does that. I've heard. That's just rumor, though.
Yeah.
That's a lot of years of schooling. And I really do appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. Well, folks, this show, as always, was brought to you by the Smalley Center. And you just got to figure out, man, go to SmalleyCenter.com and find out why 96% of the couples you go through our Smalley Intensive Program would recommend it to you if your marriage needed help. Go to SmalleyCenter.com or call us at 1-800-975-8748. That's 1-800-975-8748. And we have come to that part of the program, as you know, where there's really only one thing left to say.
And now, it is time to say goodbye.
I will leave you with my friend, Renier Bester, 1440s. What about God?
Thing that is my own. All my labor is in vain. I show the scars in my mind. A loving deeper than a deep thing. A love that never ever dies. Well, I need you to extinguish me. What about God and those things that He wanted you to be? What about love and the songs that